What is up, internet?
Hey, wait, Andy, I'm back. That was my thing.
Oh, right. Sorry.
That was the thing. Listen, I listened last week and you did a great job, but I mean, I thought that was my thing. Like that's my piece.
You're right. Go ahead.
We're just busting your balls, internet. What's going on, internet? Team Ability, No Excuses podcast, back at you this week. Chad, for better or worse, I am back. I am with Andy and Brett. I have missed them profusely. I know you can bleed profusely. I don't know if you can miss somebody profusely.
I think you mean immensely. I don't know if profusely works. But,
nope. Yep. I'm a teacher. I know things.
I think the word you're looking for is profoundly.
Yep, there's that. I missed you profoundly. And immensely, and if I was bleeding, it would be profusely.
hopefully not. But anyway,
hopefully not. Anyways, listen, we're back, and I miss doing this, and I don't know if the boys missed me as much as I did it. I listened last week, while I was away, and full disclosure, I was away dealing with a death of a very special lady in my family, the last remaining grandparent I had. Went peacefully into the good night. So thanks, boys, for your support through all of that, but also in keeping the ball rolling. And shout out to Sam, wherever you are when you listen to this, for stepping in my absence and talking about baseball, because goodness knows you would have way more to say about that than I would. So I hope you enjoyed talking sports last week, in particular baseball, guys, because I don't watch baseball. I don't know a thing about it. I understand the rules. I know the Astros cheated. And I know the world is pissed off at them. That's what I know about that.
We say you know the rules. I mean, it's not difficult. It's three strikes, you're out. There's three outs in an inning. And then the other team gets the bat. It's not a hard...
And if you're playing wheelchair softball, you only have to make it halfway to first base.
Yeah, you're a former wheelchair softball athlete.
I was an athlete once.
Well, it's debatable. I mean,
I am a master debater. You missed me. You know you did, boys. You know it.
I saw you this past week.
Yeah, shout out to Brett. Brett, you're becoming a roadie, man. Or not a roadie, but like a groupie. That's a better word. But not really a groupie. Because, as I'm sure Andy is laughing in the background, because groupies denotes a special connotation of love, and I don't think we're there yet, Brett.
I don't think we're ever going to get there.
Okay, good talk. But not only did you come out this week, but you come out by yourself and you hung out with my folks, and it meant a lot to have you there. So thanks very much for making the trip to from Mississauga to the metropolis of Burlington to watch me spread some Valentine's joy.
I know you guys know the context of this conversation, but the internet does not know. So you might want to backtrack just a little bit.
All right, backtrack. We'll backtrack and we'll tell the internet. Of course, if you've been listening to my rants and raves, you know I try to play a little bit of music on the side of all this other stuff that I got going on. And I got booked to play a Valentine's Day show. And Brett had spent his Valentine's evening. Is Eve the night before, Brett? I don't know. I can't remember.
I don't know. You're the teacher.
Stop throwing me under the bus. Spent the previous evening with his mom, taking mom out for a Valentine's dinner, and I thought that was pretty awesome. And then came in and spent the evening watching me sing songs. It was funny because my wife was chatting about what that would look like, you know, for a Valentine's Day gig. She's like, "You're gonna have to learn some like more romantic songs and stuff." And I was like, "No, it's a Friday night at 9 o'clock at a bar. This is going to be dudes watching hockey, right?" And I was right.
Well, Crystal stole my question, because I've been watching you and your various bands and solo acts and whatever else for the better part of probably 20 years. And no offense to you, but the lineup doesn't change all that much.
So. You saying I've been playing the same songs for 20 years?
Well, I mean, you throw in some new stuff every once in a while, but yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No. And you know what? Andy's actually right, because I've been to three gigs so far, and I love you to death. You're my brother and everything. But the last gig I went to on this past weekend, I really only appreciated one song.
Which one?
Zombie.
Oh, nice. So next time I perform Zombie by the Cranberries, I will look deeply into your eyes and dedicate it to you.
Well, I mean, I was looking at you as you were singing it, so.
Nothing says Valentine's Day like Zombie by the Cranberries.
That's it. Like I said, it was just a normal gig, buddy. It was just a Friday night. And Brett, I would have loved to stare deeply into your eyes that night, but maybe that's the first jump off point to accessibility and why we haven't mentioned, you know, the main focus of our podcast yet. I was playing on the bar side. It's a cool little spot. There is sort of a restaurant side with some tabletop games for the kids and stuff with those little swipe cards because nobody uses quarters anymore. And then I was on the bar side with all the TVs and obviously lots of hockey going on. And they only had the high chairs, like the high tables, bar style tables. And so Brett had to sort of sit in his chair. I didn't have to, but you sat in your chair next to my dad, and I couldn't really see you much because you were kind of buried behind my dad that night. So I didn't get to stare deeply into your eyes like I would have wanted to.
Well, here's the thing. If I had hopped out of my chair, I would have been sitting in a high chair.
Yes, and?
No.
No.
Well, I mean, Brett, you're back at the gym. That's a pretty good tricep workout to hop up there.
I know. I'm not too worried about trying to get up there. I'm worried about actually staying stationary because my core is still failing.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
makes sense.
Yeah, and that would have been a long way down if you would have fallen. So it's a good idea that you didn't.
And you know what? I've already had my epic fall for the last 18 months. So.
Oh, there you go. You'd appreciate this, Brett. We were driving home from the gig, and I was talking about how I thought it was awesome that you came out. My dad said, in typical Victor fashion, you know, I would have loved to talk to him more, but the music was so damn loud I couldn't hear what he was saying.
Well, you know what? Truth be told, I've come out to a number of your gigs, like I've said, and I really only come out to either see Vic, Emery, or Crystal.
It's a good thing my wife wasn't with me on Valentine's Day then. You would have spent your Valentine's Day with her as I was spending it singing to other people.
Well,
so no Valentine's Day songs. No, no Neil Sedaka.
No. Neil Sedaka, eh?
Kenny G?
He plays the saxophone.
Wait, I mean, diversify your portfolio.
I'll get right on that. I teach the saxophone every day, but Kenny G is a much better saxophone player than I will ever be. Anyways, listen, this is a podcast where we're supposed to talk about real talk surrounding matters of disability. As you know, I like to get my tagline in there. And shout out to Andy for doing a bang-up job of hosting in my absence last week. You crushed it, Andy. Makes me want to take more time off. No, it doesn't.
You are welcome to take time off whenever you want, my friend.
Yeah, actually, can I mandate that you take like every third week off?
Wow. You guys are just throwing me under the bus. Like every third week, just take every third week. Should we all go on a rotation then? There's three of us.
No, absolutely not.
Oh, so you don't want to take any time off?
Well, no, the listeners want to hear me and Andy.
Oh, Andy, damn it.
Andy and I.
Okay, so I'm going to put it out there for our listeners and pray to God that Andy doesn't edit this part out because he edits the podcast in post. But I want to hear from our listeners, all however many there are of you. And I want to know who you would have rest every third week if you could. We'll let the gloves come off for the internet. We'll see what the internet says. What could go wrong?
I'm going to assume that survey says they're going to say me.
Oh, the new guy? You can't call yourself the new guy anymore, Bretsky. You've been with us over a year, buddy.
Well, I'm new-ish.
You're the newest.
He's the third wheel of the tripod, that is. Disability podcast.
The tripod of awesome. So again, happy to be back, guys. And again, you're very, very supportive for my time off. And then the week prior, I was in Montreal. Now, we have talked at length about our disdain for one another's hockey teams. Andy and Brett, of course, are Leaf fans. I am most definitely not. I spent the previous weekend with my dad in Montreal, and it was the fourth time I was there in 8 years. We have gone every other year since we started going, And it was easily the most accessible trip that we had. And that is to say that the snow was the most minimal I have ever seen it there. So it was pretty easy to get around. So I was very, very happy with that.
So beyond that, you have said in the past that Montreal, the Bell Center, what is it still the Bell Center?
Centre Bell, sure. Yes, the Bell Center.
You know, okay. But you've said in the past that they do accessibility way better than most other venues that you've been to. So do you want to expand on that?
Yeah, I mean, I have said that before. If you've been listening for a while, this will be a little bit of a repeat, so I apologize. But if you have been listening, this is the part where I say thank you, because I usually do that too. I got a big kick out of that last about listening to the one that I wasn't on. And just kind of hearing all these little shots that Andy kept taking at me for saying the tagline and the way that I open it. And it made me sort of rethink the way I wanted to approach this one. But clearly, if I'm just going back to my old habits. But anyways, to sort of piggyback what Andy was saying, I have spoken before about how accessibility at the Bell Center, at least for hockey, is incredible. It is affordable. Very affordable, and we're lucky enough to sit in 100 level seats, like at the back of the first level, very close to a bathroom, and an adult beverage stand, which is everything you could want when you're at a Saturday hockey game in Montreal. The seats themselves are severely discounted. I won't get into specifics, but if you're interested, get at me over social media and I'll tell you exactly what we paid for our seats, as I said, significantly discounted from seats in that area. And the only thing that I can rationalize as to why, and I could be way off, and if you're listening and you're in Montreal, please, you know, correct me. But the city itself of Montreal is, dare I say, largely inaccessible, a lot of it anyways, just because of it's kind of got that European flavor to it. So a lot of the shops or restaurants have the sort of one step up with no ramped entry, and you're kind of just out of luck unless you're really good at jumping those curbs, if you're, you know, have enough running sort of runway space to get to it. And so that's where I rationalize and say that there must be, you know, very good to, and I'm using air quotes for this that you can't see, people like me when it comes to not only navigating the arena, but actually, you know, sitting in prime seats, fantastic seats behind the home goal at the back of the 100 level. So I don't know how many rows up we are, probably a good 30 rows up or so, like just the very, very back row, very similar to any sort of hockey arena accessible seating that I've seen, certainly in Hamilton. But, you know, at Cops Coliseum, you kind of just stroll off the concourse and sit at the back of the section. I sit in my wheelchair, and whoever I'm with sits in a like a steel folding chair next to me. It was a pretty fantastic trip. Montreal seems to do it well for accessibility at the arena, so I was very, very happy with that. And also, just to sort of piggyback that, in terms of how good they are to me, and I don't say this in a bragging way, or I don't know how to sort of say this and not sound like it like a jerk, but I had my dad with me. He's 66 now, and we joke around all the time about how I am more able than he is, because he's just had his hip replaced and he almost walks with a constant limp now and has to deal with a lot of pain around that. We usually spend the time before the game and after the game while we wait for a cab. There's a bar in the Bell Center called La Cage au Sport, the Sport Cage, and it's a great little spot. We usually spend some time there, and Dad will do this. I don't do this, and I want to be clear that this is not me. Dad will like wave at a security guard and like point, he like points at me to try to get us to jump the line, and it always works. So I mean, I'm not stopping him from doing it. Maybe that's why maybe that's where I'm not doing my part, but we're able to jump the line a lot.
No, but you know what? That happened to me today at the auto show.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, tell the internet about it, Bretzky.
We were waiting in line to buy tickets, and the security guard saw myself and my buddy Josh Watson, and Yeah, so we got pointed at by a security guard, and I feared the worst. I thought maybe we were going to be asked to leave. But no, he said, come with me, and he whisked us through. We didn't have to buy tickets. And yeah, we got to the front of the line of the auto show really, really quick.
You got pointed?
I want to come back to that, Brett, but I want to finish off with Chad first. So your dad takes full advantage of your wheelchair, even though you would prefer not to. Is that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Yes, but I mean, he doesn't like. I'm not mad at him. Like, I don't get embarrassed. He only does it in situations like that, where we've got a big line. We had, you know, we're 6.5 hours of driving, and whatever benefit we can get at that point, I think he's excited for. So, like, I know, for example. And I mean, he would maybe kill me for saying this, but he doesn't listen to our podcast anyways because he doesn't know how to find it. that he, on one of his many beer runs, he during the game, he swung by the Kajaspor and sort of said, what's the lineup going to be like at the end? Because I don't know if I've said this before. Montreal does it a little differently in that for the first hour after the game is over, you can't get a cab. They allow all the walking the people that are walking or using the metro or whatever to get out safely. And then after an hour, it's just the cabs just line up at the front door of the arena to take people out. But yeah, for the first hour, you can't get one. So that's where we usually, you know, take the opportunity to go in and have a drink and wait for a cab. My dad showed his age on this trip. I recommended Uber, told him that it was a very, very, you know, I hadn't had a bad experience for accessibility. I said, let's just get an Uber and it'll be done. And he was super old school. He's like, no, we got to get a cab. He's like, I don't know anything about Uber. And I explained it to him and he's like, no, we got to get a cab. But anyways, so he does do that from time to time. He uses, he'll use me. Can I say use me? And I mean, full disclosure, I allow myself to be used. So I'm not really pushing back on it or saying, you know, don't, because we end up jumping lines and getting a table in a busy environment. And yes, sometimes it can work to your advantage. I'm not a guy that takes advantage out of it excessively. But I think my dad probably does it more than I do, but only in those situations where the lineup, and this was a situation too. If he ever had a reason to do it, this year would be it. Cause his hips and back were killing him all week. And so, or weekend I should say. And so to have minimal time walking around for him was beneficial for him.
Sorry, before I know that Andy is about to cut in. You said that his hips and back have been bothering him.
Yeah.
How long?
Well, he had a full hip replacement done in, I want to say October or November, and he's still dealing with quite a bit, not necessarily in the hip that he had done, but now in the opposite knee. He's been dealing with chronic pain for quite a while.
I'm jumping in again. You're 38. You're 38, right?
37.
So he's been dealing with chronic pain for 37 years.
That is absolutely correct. Well done. You've been waiting for that one, eh?
Yeah.
I should have set that up a little better for you.
Mr. Bretzky, I want to get back to your auto show experience. You just did that today, correct?
I just did that today, yes.
And is that something you frequent, or was it a one-time deal, or what?
Well, no. I've been doing the auto show, I would say, for the last 6 years, for sure.
All right, so take us through what happened today. You said you, similar to Chad, you were able to jump.
Yeah,
well, I would say he even beat me, because if I'm not mistaken, he said he didn't even have tickets. We never got hooked up that good.
You know, it's funny. I don't know why me and Josh keep doing this, but we tend to go down on family day. And right. you both have families, you know, you do your outings. And so today we decided to go down, and everybody and their sister was there. And it was jammed to the gills.
So you were in line to get tickets?
Correct.
And the security guard was just like, you guys don't have to pay?
Correct.
Oh yeah, you win that for sure.
Right? Yeah. Brett beats my Montreal story. Game, set, and match. Brett Will's there. Good job.
I want to talk about, like, I've never been to the auto show. I'm not really a car guy. But is there, there can't be a large, if any, presence of accessible stuff, right? Like I can't, or is there? I don't know.
No, it's pretty brutal, to be perfectly honest with you. The venue itself, it's at the convention, Metro Toronto Convention Center. It's like 4 or 5 floors. There's it's really bad carpeting. Like you wheel on it and it's like wheeling into quicksand.
Yeah, that sucks. You had me at carpet. I was like, oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. So, and then all these vendors or car companies have these displays that are up on, they're not really that raised. They're maybe raised 4 inches. But so you got to wheel up these inclines that are literally at every single manufacturer's booth or display. So I got my steps in today. I got about 8,000 steps and my right shoulder is really sore.
Okay, wait. Can we hit the pause button for a second? Do you, yeah. You have a Fitbit?
I do not.
Oh, well, how do you know you got your steps in? And like, I was really confused there. I was like, wait, do you have some kind of invention that with a Fitbit that it counts your steps with it? Like it counts your wheel pushes as steps. I don't understand.
It's called an app on a smartphone. It's not rocket science.
No, Andy's right. But this time I was with Josh Watson and he has a Fitbit.
Okay, wait. So Fitbits do work for people with wheelchairs? Users, wheelchair users?
Yeah, there's a setting in there.
Wow. Technology. Yeah. Amazing. I got
to
buy a Fitbit.
Man, you used to post. Hold on. Chad, you used to post when you pretended to work out that you wheeled around.
Pretended to work out.
Yeah. Sorry. That's what the laughter was. Go ahead.
When you wheeled 5K because your app did that.
But that was GPS tracking. It's easy to tell you how long you've traveled. I just didn't know it could count like individual.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. I used to use Map My Run, right? Like it was cool. It was easy. That would tell you calories and stuff too. And the best though that I could do at that point for the setting on the app was to set it for a bike ride, right? Because there was no setting for I'm pushing my wheelchair as fast as I can for 5 kilometers, right?
Oh, really? I must not have been using Map My Run then, but I had a wheelchair.
You had setting. One? Yeah, awesome. Yeah. There you go. So, okay, so to get back to this now, how does Fitbit know that, wow, Fitbit counts steps for people with wheelchairs who don't take steps? That's amazing.
Well, I mean, I'm no programmer, but you don't put your Fitbit on your ankle, right?
No.
Wear it on your wrist. Yeah.
I don't know. That's amazing. All right, so you're there with Josh Watson, who is a wheelchair user as well. Now, is he there looking for a vehicle for himself, or are you guys just car buffs? You're just there just checking it out?
No, he's definitely looking for a vehicle for himself.
Okay. So safe to assume then that he's looking for some means of adaptive transportation, yes? Or just a vehicle he can put his hand controls in?
Yeah, that's a better assumption. I don't think there's anything on the market that's rolls off the assembly line and ta-da, it's a wheelchair.
Yeah. I'm sort of getting back to what Andy was saying about there must be like zero to none representation, you know, of adaptive driving or anything like that, because they probably have, you know, mobility shows for that.
No, and there's not. There was, ironically or surprisingly, one year we actually did bump into a vendor that did sell wheelchair accessible vehicles. I don't want to call them vans because I don't think they were just selling vans, but
there is one company specifically that designs accessible vehicles here in Hamilton. Darts has a whole fleet of them, right? So but they are very expensive.
You
drive. Like if you're a driver and not a passenger, you can set it up so that they even take the front driver's seat out. So you wheel in the side and then wheel right into your spot, lock your chair in, and you're good to go. So So there is one. They're actually based out of Windsor, I believe. But anyways, by the sounds of it, they didn't have a booth at the auto show today.
So you had a good time at the auto show once you got in with your tickets that you didn't have?
I told you, I had 11,000 steps today, or 10,000 steps. And eight.
I think you started at 8.
Yeah, 8.
Insane population, as you were saying, due to Family Day, I would assume?
Yeah, there was a number of parents with children on the GO train. Little children, not like your kid's age, Chad. Then it got worse as we got into the convention center.
Well, you guys go to more sporting events just in general in your wheelchairs than I do. But that said, I'm starting to, if I know I'm going to a event where there's going to be a big crowd, I just default to use my wheelchair. Yeah. But anyways, do you find in big crowds like that people are respectful of your wheelchairs? Or
absolutely,
are they just,
not. Yeah. Absolutely not. I'm sorry I cut you off. I knew where you were going with that question. Absolutely not. People are ignorant. People have no concept of what to do when they see somebody in a wheelchair. First of all, they stop and they stare while they're in your way.
It's just because you're so damn good looking.
No, it's not that I'm good looking, Chad. I know that I'm good looking, but it's because people are ignorant.
I don't know how else to say it other than just to say it. Like, what do you do at an auto show? Like, you're not in the market for a vehicle.
Well, I mean, today I was helping Josh look for a vehicle that would suit his needs, for lack of a better term.
Is the go-to vehicle for somebody in a wheelchair, is it a minivan?
Yeah, but you know, do you know how tough it is being a single dude driving a minivan?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, no, I've never driven a minivan, so I take that back.
Yeah, congratulations, you've got working feet.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. But, okay,
yeah.
There's 5 floors, right? And there is nothing for accessible driving?
No, there's not. And that's the other thing that just popped into my head when you said 5 floors. The people that use the elevator, it says on each floor beside the elevator, please reserve this elevator for people in wheelchairs and strollers. And no more than half a dozen times, and this should be an offside, but it's not. I don't care. No more than half a dozen times, I saw perfectly capable people just waiting for the elevator, and I shouldn't be that butthurt over it. Am I allowed to say butthurt?
Butthurt fits within the clean standards of the whoever the podcast giants are.
I don't mean to be butthurt because I completely understand that there are disabilities that are not visible.
Those are called invisibilities.
Right.
Just stop.
But it's one of those things where you're waiting. I kid you not, we were there for probably 5 hours today, and I might have waited for elevators for an hour.
Really?
Wow.
Total? It's like,
because people were using them that shouldn't have been? Well, listen, hold up, you know, able-bodied community, but you know what I mean when I say shouldn't have been. Didn't have to be, I suppose, is better.
Just an overpopulated space where people were using the elevator. I don't know how else to explain it.
We seem to be dumbfounded, for lack of a better way to say it, for different aspects of this auto show. Chad's perplexed over the elevators. And I honestly, I know this is like the third or fourth time I've come back to it, but there was absolutely no representation for accessibility vehicles, whether it be hand controls, the vehicles themselves, or anything.
No, absolutely not. And now that I think about it, maybe that's why I got in for free.
Yeah. You know, and that's a great point, Andy, to circle back. You could almost justify not having almost, and I say almost, you could almost justify not having any representation from accessible vehicles. But the fact that there's not even a demo from adaptive equipment like hand controls is a little bit shocking.
Is the adaptive equipment market for cars so specialized that they're like, we don't even need to be there? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Chad, we've talked about your search for assessments and then hand controls. Mm-hmm. Like, when you jump on the internet, it's a pretty short list, right? So maybe they just, maybe the vendor costs are too high and they're like, it's not worth it because we don't see the return on investment. I don't know.
Like, yeah. Who knows, man? And I mean, you're taking your sort of business perspective into that and, you know, sort of saying, you know, maybe it's not worth what it costs to have a booth or a table or whatever it is, but you would think that it would be worth it just to say that you were there, you know, even if you were the one table. And, you know, clearly it would have worked today because there's probably at least two people that would have stopped at your table.
Right.
All right, so switching gears for a second, if you've been listening for a while, and again, this is the point where I say thank you, all the old episodes are available on any podcatching device of your choosing. You know that we've had our good buddy Dave on the show. He is an amateur pro wrestler, indie pro wrestler, there's the word. And he's been doing great things in our community of Hamilton. They've got a show on the 23rd of February coming up, so next Sunday from today as we're taping. It's at Flamborough Hills Golf and Country Club. Andy and I will be there. If you were listening, you know that the three of us went to a show and had a blast. We only found out minutes to coming on the air tonight that Brett is unable to join us, and we hate him for it, and we're going to make Dave put him in a reverse atomic drop, actually an ankle lock, because I'm sure you would feel every ounce of that.
Yeah, you know what? You use the word hate, and that's fine because I don't like either of you anyway. In fact, tonight I like Andy a hell of a lot more than I like you.
Oh, man. I took a week off, you know, I don't know. And then you came out and, you saw me 2 days ago. I thought we had a special connection.
Chad, you did a great job of explaining the details of the show and where it's going to be. But, the whole point of that lead-in was to say that HWE has given us permission to chronicle our experience there. We have limited access to there are restrictions around filming the matches, mm-hmm. but they've really enjoyed the feedback he got from the podcast. He enjoyed being on the podcast. So he actually said to me, why don't we take it a step further and see what we can put together in terms of our whole experience there. So
cool.
We're gonna try to do that. We're going to try to get some interviews.
All right. So it's the point in the night where we look towards our offside moment. I mentioned off the top that Brett joined me a couple nights ago for one of my solo acoustic gigs, and I think that this is where the offside comes from. I'm going to throw it to Brett. I don't know what's coming, but I'm excited for it because I don't doubt that there was some offside moments that happened. One of your moments might be related to the washroom. I went to the washroom once that night on a break, and I was able to make do. I don't know if you were able to find success or what is coming, but I'll shut up and let you go. So tell me about your offside, tell me about your Valentine's Day offside, Brett.
Well, as you pointed out, I decided that, it would be in, good faith to come out and visit you at your gig, which I thoroughly enjoyed despite you playing really terrible music. I ended up breaking the seal, so I had to go use the washroom. And so I went in there, and I surveyed the scene, and I realized that if I was to get on the toilet successfully without breaking my neck, and that's ironic because I'm a wheelchair user, I would have probably had to have gone to an adult entertainment sex store to buy a sex swing to place myself on the toilet.
Yes, that's what you would go there for.
So, there was no proper room for me to swing my wheelchair in effectively. I usually back into a stall.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't do that. And even if I could, I probably wouldn't have been able to close the door properly. So I did what I had to do. It was precarious and dangerous, but
you risked your life to go for a piss.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, we all need to go do it, but when these establishments build their washroom facilities, they don't really take into consideration proper measurements and whatnot, or they add a second toilet when they could have only really done with one and it would have been fine.
Yeah.
So. Hold on, man. I got to back up because you go to support your friend. He's playing on the bar side, right?
That he said your friend, not our friend.
Well, I'm sorry. You go to support Chad. Is that better?
Yes.
He's on the bar side. There's no all they have is bar tables and bar chairs, so you have to sit in your wheelchair.
Correct.
Right.
Yes.
And then the washroom is less than ideal for you as well.
Correct.
As wheelchair use.
Yes.
No. Okay. So in all seriousness, though, you can't sit. Did you just keep the beer in your lap? Like,
I think you had it on the table probably, but then you're reaching at almost probably over your head to get your drink, right?
Well, I think that the top of the table was probably at eye level.
Yeah.
So you weren't ordering food from this place?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if he was, then it would be on his lap, no doubt.
Correct.
Man, and I know this is the stuff we talk about all the time, but to able-bodied people, it's not a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to go support our friend.
He fixed it.
You're not gonna have an enjoyable night, right? And it kind of sucks that wheelchair users are overlooked. Like, I don't think it would take much to put a regular table and a set of chairs in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some able-bodied people might prefer to sit there, right? Like, I don't know.
You know what? I don't necessarily care about that. I've been to far too many establishments where that setup is just normal. Not to say that it's right or wrong. I don't think it's necessarily right. What I'm bent out of shape about is the washroom situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And shout out to you for going for a sex swing instead. You could have said anything else.
Right? Yeah. Like, I'm glad we're drawing attention to that. And I hope that makes the edit. Can we have the word sex swing on this week's podcast? That would be wonderful.
Andy, I'm so sorry that I'm not politically correct or appropriate.
I'm not. I think to echo what Brett was saying, I've seen this as, and I know Brett and I have probably seen it countless times. Just for anyone that might be listening, that's not a wheelchair user and is going, why does Brett need a swing to get to the toilet? I think, you know, there's that sort of misconception that you put in a handicap stall and you've done your due diligence, right? But more often than not, what you see is, and I had this conversation with you, Brett, because I went to the washroom. I was able to negotiate things as well. I wasn't pretty, but I went, and then I remember coming back to you just before I grabbed my guitar and started the second set. I said, if you're going to the washroom, have fun. sort of let you discover that yourself.
Well, and when you said that, I completely understood the context.
Yes, you would.
And I mean, I know I used the term sex swing, but but no, I don't think very many people that listen to our podcast understand what a Hoyer lift is.
Yes, well done.
So Andy's
laughing because he does.
Yeah, I'm just trying to allow our listeners to understand where I'm coming from in terms they might understand better.
Yeah,
I get you. I get you.
I apologize that I'm trying to be inclusive.
So you go to the bathroom. There is an accessible stall at this venue. It's wonderful because you can get your chair in, but that's about all you can do, right? As Brett, you were saying, usually back into the stall, transfer from there. There was no room to do that in this stall. I remember the first thing that you said to me when I said, if you're going to the bathroom, that will be fun, kind of thing, was, does the door open in or out? Because that's the most common, I think, error that I know that I've seen, and certainly that you have. I've mentioned that before on our podcast, stalls that have the doors that open in so that once you go in, you can't shut the door. And so, you know, there is no privacy, no dignity, no anything towards, you know, having to use the washroom. And so kudos to you, Brett, for being able to accomplish the task.
Obviously, I wasn't there, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. But if you can't use your wheelchair properly in the stall, what makes it accessible?
Yeah, then? You're right. Other than the wider doorway that you can get your stall, your chair into, but then there's a toilet.
Oh, that's all it is?
Right in front of you. Yeah, I would think so. All right, so listen, I think that's all we got. I'm running out of ideas. I got nothing, and I've already said too much. And I'm starting to understand why you guys enjoy when I'm not here.
Chad, like I said, every third week, please.
Yes. So, so there you go. So the challenge for the internet this week is, if one of us was to take every third week off, which one would you like it to be and why? We'll let the keyboard warriors ignite. Apparently I need to take every third week off so that Brett can sound more smarter. Thank you so much for your support and for listening to us rant, rave, and talk about our lives, however entertaining or mundane they may be. It's been a blast being back. And again, shout out to you boys for granting me a week off to deal with what I had to deal with, but also keeping it real and keeping the show moving, because we've got a lot of momentum moving forward. Some announcements coming forward about some of the things that are on its way. We're just grateful, so grateful that you have joined us for this ride. And boys, I don't say this enough, but there's nobody else that I'd rather do this with. It's an absolute blast.